Everyone, this is John.
This is Brian.
Nick and Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. Ryan's not here.
Okay, I was about to say.
I'm not
going to be Sloth from the Goonies.
I'm not going to be imitating Ryan the entire show.
Where is Ryan?
Ryan is on his way to get to... Well, he is in recovery. He wouldn't be on his way to get... It's like 9 p.m. No one gets a vasectomy at 9 p.m. Ryan is getting a vasectomy. Him and Busey are not planning on having children. So...
That's a smart call, really. You can't be...
Not
in
this economy. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. I don't know how you have two of them.
I don't know. We're like... One of them takes care of the other. That's basically how they handle it. Ripley has a job now.
Yeah, she's three, so...
Yeah, it's about time, too. Jeez.
What a slacker.
Yeah.
What a freeloader.
So, this is episode 80 of the official show for June 2017. And on the official show, we usually talk about news and new releases and then preview the next month's game. Or games as they're coming out.
Games?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Two, maybe three that we're going to spend a little bit of time on.
All right. Well, that sounds fair.
But the main thrust of the show is going to be on new releases. We're not going to talk about a whole hell of a lot of news. Like, there is stuff that happened outside of E3 that would be worth mentioning. But for the sake of being able to devote as much time to new releases... We're going to skip over most of the stuff. I mean, a lot of it is announcements of smaller games, like Knights of Azure 2 is coming to Switch, and Indivisible, which is an indie RPG, is coming to Switch. And these are things that Knights of Azure 2 is like announced only for Japan right now. Hey everyone, this is John. Quick update. Koei Tecmo did announce a release date for Knights of Azure 2. It is coming to North America on October 24th. So I'm sure we'll be talking more about that in the future. And Indivisible is 2018. So I know we're even outside of E3, we're seeing a lot of like Japanese and indie games getting announced as coming to the platform, which is a good thing. The more the merrier for games on the Switch. But we're not going to spend more time on it than that. But there are two topics that I did want to at least spend a couple minutes discussing. The first one is Nintendo, very late last month or early this month, revealed that they are delaying their paid online service into 2018, which I think they originally were trying to have... roll out in the summer or fall. I think a lot of people were thinking like when Splatoon 2 comes out, that's when they'd have their paid online service. But no, their paid online service is until next year. It is going to be $20 for the year.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's
not a big deal.
I would when there were rumors that it would be between $20 and $30 based on some comments that Kimishima made to a Japanese newspaper. I strongly lean towards, like, it's got to be, like, $30. Like, $20 is too low to even hope for. And guess what? $20.
Yeah.
That's paltry.
That's pretty cool.
That's, and, you know, it's going to have the Nintendo wonkiness where a lot of it will be managed through a smartphone application, which it's...
Yeah.
It's all, like, silly and bizarre enough to be perfectly Nintendo. Because why would it just be functional like everyone else's? No, they're going to have their own crazy twist on it.
This looks like it was made by a four-year-old. Oh, it was made by Nintendo. It's awesome.
Like you have to... And that
just
really,
accept it.
That really is the way that you have to try to approach these things. Is, yes, they're going to have their own online paid subscription service... But they're going to introduce it with the naivety of a four-year-old, of a child. Like, when they were first thinking of doing a online paid service, they probably had no idea that anyone else was doing it. They don't pay attention to what other people are doing. They don't give a fuck. So they like came up with their own plan, and then like someone like comes in the boardroom, hey, you know that Sony and Microsoft do it this way. Like, oh.
Well, we're going to do it our way anyways.
Yeah, we're gonna go the smartphone route. So there. But along with, you know, the wonkiness that will go along with the smartphone app and like the voice chat, that's still just so up in the air right now as to what exactly this will be. They also talked a little bit more about the free game, like the monthly free game that goes along with their monthly subscription. And they didn't expand upon it a whole lot, but from what they said is that it's possibly like more than one free game per month. And so far they've talked about like NES and Super Nintendo games with the addition of some sort of online feature, so you can play online with other people these retro games.
Wow, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, that was something that they talked about at the beginning with their online thing. But also when they originally talked about it, it was free for that month. Like, that was the game of the month. And then the next month, it would be a different game. The other one went away, or maybe you pay to keep it. But now, when they delayed their online, the way they talked about it, it seems like it's more of a library that you just have constant access to. Like, people compared it to, like, Netflix, instead of movies, there are these retro games, and maybe they, like Netflix, they add more to it as it goes on. So rather than just having it for the month, you have the online paid subscription, you just have access to this game. And that might affect the way the virtual console is handled going forward, if there is a virtual console.
I guess they could do that if they do with the older games or anything. There's not a lot of data going into it, but some of these games, you can't just stream the games directly. You have to download to your console and then...
Well, are you talking about, like, streaming the games, like, for online play? Like, what do you mean by...
I don't know. Like, you said you already have access to it, like, Netflix. Now it doesn't download the movies to your...
So I imagine it would be a download, but then... Oh, God, yeah, how would that be? Because if you download it and then you cancel your online subscription, are then just, like, no, this has been locked. You can't use it anymore. Oh, interesting.
I mean, PlayStation does free games monthly as well. And I have a couple of those. But those are mine. They're on my console.
Yeah. Yeah, because those you just... I wonder if it is going to be like you get access to this library and then it's just streamed. Maybe. I mean
you're talking about, like, do that with those older games.
Yeah, NES and Super Nintendo games. Like, those are... kilobytes of data. Those are tiny. Even N64 games are quite small in comparison. But, you know, and I think that they haven't even mentioned anything about N64 games. And people with the virtual console are hoping for things like GameCube games.
You're not getting GameCube games.
I don't know that the virtual console is going to look anything like it has for the past decade. Like, with this sort of possible library of games that you access through subscription, and the way that they're handling plug-and-play consoles now, I don't know. And they haven't said anything substantial about virtual console on Switch, GameCube games or otherwise. I don't know for sure that virtual console is going to be a thing. It clearly has not been a high priority for them for, say, the past 8 years. You know, virtual console has always been like this slow drip feed of games. You get one here and there. On the Wii U, you got a discount on games that you bought on Wii. That's because Wii and Wii U directly communicated with each other. Like, if you transfer all of your Wii data over to your Wii U through the magical work of Pikmin, then your Wii U recognized, hey, you had this on Wii. You could transfer it over and get the Wii U functionality for $1 or $1.50. But, like, when it came to when 3DS Virtual Console rolled out for NES and Super Nintendo stuff, there was no discount. It didn't even recognize that you would, like, you have it on your Wii U. Like, no, you're paying full price again. So I think there are these pie-in-the-sky ideas about, like, oh, well, my Nintendo knows that I have these games, so when Virtual Console is out on Switch, it'll be free, or maybe it'll just be at a slight discount. Like, I don't think that will be the case if Virtual Console is even the thing. But we'll see. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe they'll just be like, hey, all these retro games are free now. They're free for everyone. Have all the games.
Unlikely. Maybe that'll stop your bitching.
Unlikely. However, I mentioned plug-and-play consoles. And the other thing that I want to talk about, and we're going to probably dive in deep on this on the Super Nintendo show, but we'll just give like a few hot takes right now. A couple days ago at time of recording, Nintendo announced the Super Nintendo Classic Edition, their second hardware Classic Edition release. This one's coming out on September 29th. It's going to be $79.99, I believe. Could be $89, but I'm not 100% sure right now.
Yeah.
But it has 21 games. NES Classic had 30. This one has 21.
And a lot of them I will play.
Like this is a really solid lineup.
Yes, it is.
I'm curious as to why.
F-Zero. Just.
We'll let Ryan stick up for that game when he's here.
Just. No.
So, I'm not quite sure why they didn't go. It's not like they couldn't have gotten to 30. Like, there are a couple of glaring omissions for this.
They're kilobytes.
Right. Like, these are very small things. But, you know, I'm sure they had their reasons. So, you're on the games on this list. Contra 3, great. Donkey Kong Country, great. Earthbound, cool. Like, and they're putting Earthbound on everything now. Remember when Earthbound never came out? Like,
everybody.
It's on Wii. It's on 3DS. Yeah. Final Fantasy 3, which is Final Fantasy 6. F-Zero, Kirby Superstar, Kirby's Dream Course. It's funny that there's the Kirby Golf game on there, but anyway. A Link to the Past, Mega Man X, Secret of Mana, Star Fox.
Star Fox 2.
Never released. That is an unreleased game. And that's like the Megaton bomb from this announcement, is that they are finishing Star Fox 2. And there's been like an incomplete ROM that's been floating around, and Nintendo has made comments about how like it's not the complete game. Star Fox 2, as it releases on this, will probably be substantially different from the ROM that was leaked. But this is a 21-year-old Super Nintendo game that never came out. This is a new release.
Yep.
This is a new Super Nintendo game in the year of our Lord 2017. The console has been dead for 20 years, and there's a new game. That's astounding. You know, the only thing more astounding than this is if after the Super Nintendo Classic comes out, like in January or something, they say, oh, and Star Fox 2, if you missed it on the Super Nintendo Classic, we're releasing a Super Nintendo cartridge of Star Fox
2. Oh my god, yes, please.
That would be insane.
That would be the best. Oh my god.
That would be the only thing crazier. Street Fighter 2, Turbo, Hyper Fighting, Super Castlevania 4, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, which I think is the weak link in here, if there is one. Super Mario Kart, Mario RPG, Mario World, Super Metroid, Super Punch-Out, and Yoshi's Island. Now, these are the three big ones. Star Fox, Star Fox 2, which is huge, and Yoshi's Island. These games have never seen any sort of release on a virtual console. Most people speculate because of the FX chip, and it's just hard to emulate that. But we have gotten like versions of Yoshi's Island on virtual console, but it's been the GBA version. It's never been the Super Nintendo version. So, yeah, for the first time, they're releasing this ROM. And yeah, that's a really great lineup. And we'll probably dig a little bit deeper, like
I said. Can you think of anything that's missing, that you're sad that it's missing?
Donkey Kong Country 2, maybe 3. Final Fight, it'd be nice to see some version of Final Fight. Maybe another Mega Man X, like Mega Man X 2.
I still have Mega Man X, though.
Yeah, it's true.
Which is the best Mega Man.
The Secret of Mana is kind of a funny one, too, because this thing does come with the two controllers. Secret of Mana is a three-player game.
Oh.
So, you can play with two people, but the big thing about Secret of Mana was that you could play, like, you use the multi-tap and have three friends playing together, this RPG. But, again, not a huge deal. I mean, someone's just going to have to sit
down. The connections are still the same, right? So, in theory, you think you could use the multi-tap?
So here's the thing. The controllers, the cord is longer. That was one of the complaints about the NES Classic, was that the controller cords were short. These ones are 5 feet. So, you know, they're a decent length. And I don't know if they unplug. So if you did have a multi-tap for your Super Nintendo still,
based on the picture, it looks like they do.
Yeah, maybe.
There's a picture of a guy sitting there holding it.
Yeah,
in
the
his
box
hand.
Art, sure. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, maybe. Maybe you're right then. Interesting.
I want that thing so badly.
It looks good.
Oh my god.
And here's the thing. It's going to be available September 29th until calendar year ends 2017. This is, again, going to be a limited run.
It's a four-month period.
They say that they're going to produce more than the NES Classic, which means they have to make 2.4 million. Just a little bit more here. It will probably, again, be hard to get. I am optimistic it will be slightly easier.
Are you going to try to get one?
I'm going to try to get one. I am not willing to pay more than retail, so there will not be like me going into eBay or Amazon and overpaying for one of these things. I might overpay by like $40. That will be my threshold for this thing. But I mean, this is really cool. But anyway, we'll talk more about this on the Super Nintendo show and what's missing and what we're most excited about here when Ryan is here to stick up for F-Zero. Again, he's constantly having to defend that game.
Constantly.
But let's take a break and then come back with ARMS.
I have arms. You have arms?
I do indeed have arms. They are not springy or stretchy, though, like they are in the game. Which, okay. I love the setup for this game, like the lore behind it. They are people who had normal arms and then woke up one day and their arms were springy. And that's it. And now they fight each other.
No explanation.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's not some kind of weird virus that happened. It's not some kind of mad scientists doing something.
It's just the way the world is now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
All right.
So, we actually...
Besides that one chick.
Sunk... Well, there's a couple of exceptions here. Like, there's the twin-tail girl who's got, like, the hair punching. There's Helix. He's not even a person. He's just some sort of blob dude.
Oh, yeah.
There's the mummy guy, who I guess he counts as a person, but he's dead. And it's just, like, the wrappings on his arm that fires out. I guess the Kid Cobra is probably a person, right?
Probably, like, under that...
Yeah.
Mask
thing? Yeah, the ninja's clearly a person. But anyway, we digress.
That one chick's in a machine.
That's true, yeah. She's got a machine. Like,
she's normal.
She's cheating.
She
built
that's not cool.
Built a robot.
That's not cool.
So,
Anyway, so who cares?
We sunk a surprising amount of time into this game the other day because we were intending to record a podcast and we were playing ARMS and we look at the clock and it's like, oh shit, it's 10:15. We should probably record.
This isn't good.
So we spent about 2 hours into it. You played a lot as Kid Cobra.
I did.
What did you think?
Kid Cobra was a lot of fun. A lot of them feel the same. It's just the difference are going to be their weapons and their grabs. That's going to be your differences.
Yeah, certain grabs are going to do different things. Like a lot of grabs will toss the enemy off in different directions. Some of them actually get the enemy closer
to you. Kid Cobra, he will grab them, and instead of bringing the enemy to you, he actually pulls himself to them and then kicks them away.
Yeah.
So that's if you want a close gap there. That's kind of like Kid Cobra's kind of fighting technique. You just want to get in his face almost.
Well, see, you mentioned similarities between characters, and there are some similarities, especially between, like, the smaller characters. There are, like, different, like, weight classes. Like, the mummy is a larger character. The mummy does not move as quickly. Its horizontal dodges back and forth don't cover the same amount of distance. The mummy does have an advantage in that he's bigger, he's doing a bit more damage, he's able to take more punishment. He's also able to regenerate a little bit of health when he's blocking.
Huh.
And he's got to...
How do you block? Like that? I played through 2 full rounds of this.
Blocking's a bit weird. And it's I don't do it a whole lot because it's even hard to remember that it exists. You press down on the L stick.
Huh.
You click it in. Yeah, remember when...
Oh, you click in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you press the L button.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Remember when that was a thing? When, like, that was, like, a button that people used?
Well, I mean, on the PlayStation, there's a bunch of games that uses those, yeah, those click buttons and everything. Yeah.
I don't know, I always thought it was a bit weird. But anyway, it's a strange way to block. We didn't play with motion. We were playing with the Joy-Con grip.
Yes. The way God intended it.
Right. So, of course, I think, like, the shoulder buttons work really well for the punches, and then you have, like, your jump and your dodge mapped to face buttons. You can also punch with face buttons, but to me, it just felt more natural to use the shoulders.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I was finding myself accidentally hitting them here and there, and it was throwing me off.
Yeah, like, I would get into a panic, and my fingers would come off, like, the jump and dodge button, and then go back down to the punches, and I'm trying to dodge, and instead I'm throwing punches. Like, oh god, no, why is this happening?
It'd be good if you can, like, turn those off, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe you can, I haven't really looked.
That's a possibility.
You know what else would be good if you could turn off? Is the after-battle replays.
Yes, that was kind of dumb.
But I have not found that in an options menu or anything.
It's kind of enjoyable, but yeah.
When you win, but yeah. when you're losing, like I do when I turn it on to level 3. I should mention I'm bad at this game. Like,
oh, so you're playing level 3 now?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I am not. I played level 3 3 or 4 times. I got my butt kicked every time. I am not good at fighting games.
Oh, man. King Cobra and those slappers. That was my thing. That was great. Because that's insulting. You see your arm go out and you just slap at them. It's very, very insulting.
So basically what I've been doing, though...
Might as well be your dick.
Yeah,
whack.
But basically what I've been doing is I've been going through the game just on, like, on level 2 and with all these different, as many different characters as I can, I want to get through them all, and then that will give you coins, and those coins you can use in this bonus game to unlock more weapons for every character. So there are a lot of different characters that use those slappers, and I found a glove that is like a homing glove for the ninja guy.
Really?
Which I thought would be like oh, good, I'm gonna turn up to level 3, I'm gonna actually beat level 3 as Ninjara because I got homing boxing gloves, I'm just gonna dash around and teleport around and they'll never be able to hit me, and I'll hit them every time, and I lost in the first round.
Good job.
It was terrible. No, the homing gloves are not what they're cracked up to be. So.
Like, your tactic while I was watching you was typically... throw a couple punches here and there, but you're focused on grabs. You were very grab-focused.
To me, you're doing more damage that way, and... that's pretty much it, and you don't have to worry about having to aim your punches all that much. Like, there are times when, you know, fighting certain characters where you're better off just popping them with a couple punches here and there, but if I want to get out of a match... then you better grab, because that's what's doing most of your damage. Now, the other side of that is when you're throwing punches, you're building up your special gauge. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're building that up when you're doing grabs.
It doesn't seem like it, because it always seemed like the pure got your special gauge before you, whenever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a pain in the butt when you get stuck in that, because there goes a third of your health.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, like, the game is pretty fun. You do have to think about... Which is really cool. You have to think about when you're fighting a certain character, you have to think about how that character is best used. So with a guy like when we're fighting the mummy, he's really good when he gets up close and personal. So that's a guy where you're keeping your distance.
Yeah, it's because his fists are slow, but they're big and they hit hard, so you want to get in their face.
And you do want to move... horizontally quite a bit, because if you just try to throw punches at him, like, he's got big heavy fists, his punches go right through yours, especially if you're a lighter character, that is. Whereas, like, if you're fighting Ribbon Girl, when you're fighting the mummy, like, also, like, doing a lot of aerial stuff is your advantage, because he's not very good in the air. But if you're fighting Ribbon Girl, if you try to take her to the air and fight her in the air, you're going to lose. Like, Ribbon Girl is actually kind of an annoying fight for me, because she's very good jumping around. You didn't have a problem with her, though. You just, like, slapped her a bunch of times over and over again.
I love those slappers. You send one out, and then right as it's about to connect, your second one should be getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just go, slap, 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 slap. And it's really funny. It's like a, you know, children in the school play yard. It's just like,
yeah,
slap fight. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's great.
But then Bark and Bite, who's the robot guy, and he's got his robot talking about
dumbest thing ever. Like, I wish it was better, because it was an interesting concept.
He's actually pretty good when, because he can jump on top of his dog and then take to the air. He's very good vertically moving through the air, because he's got the advantage, like, his dog also suppressing you a little bit. But the way to take him out, I found...
Beat up the dog.
Take out the dog and just
throw him in a corner.
Yeah, get him in a corner and just suppress him. When the dog is back up, punch the dog again and just keep him in the corner. He is very hard, it seems, for him to get out mm-hmm. of a corner. At least on level 2. And the hardest part for me on level 3, the furthest I ever got, I think, was round 3 in level 3. And it's the thing where you are doing the basketball, where you have to grab the opponent and then dunk him into the hoop. Which, they're like... There are 10 rounds in the arcade mode, they call it the Grand Prix, and 2 of them are always like these weird little interstitial, like you can play volleyball or basketball or like a target punching game, and you're still going against an opponent, but you don't actually ever fight that opponent, you're
playing
the game against them. But the basketball one for me was really hard,
volleyball,
because on level 3, like, they're not going to hold still for your grab. If you try to grab them, they'll dodge out of the way and then grab you. But if you try to start throwing punches, they'll also just grab you. Like, I lost 5 times trying to fight. Yeah, I couldn't figure it out. And it was, like, Ribbon Girl, too, because she's always got my number.
No.
But I did play online 1 round. I tried to get online with a friend of mine who we got our friend codes. We swapped friend codes using... the Wii U, which was one of the really nice things about Switch, and one of the updates that they did, is that if you have friends through 3DS or Wii U, you now just have a quick option to send them a friend request through Switch. So you don't have to go through the process of, like, trying to exchange codes again.
That's just weird that they do it that way. So every console seemed to have, like, its own ID or something?
So far.
That seems odd.
I think that...
Because again, like, being a PlayStation guy, the PS3 and my PS4... You're right. You're right. Well, even with the PS4, the friends I have on PS3, I don't have on PS4.
Did it not give you the option to go back and add them on PS4?
I have the same login and everything.
But you still got the same PlayStation ID.
Yeah.
But it didn't, like...
I guess it's not associated with the ID. It's weird.
Hmm. Yeah, because, like, the Nintendo one, I think, is associated with your ID, because I connected my ID to my 3DS, my Wii U, and my smartphone through Miitomo. And it even, like, gave me the option, hey, you know these couple of people through Miitomo, do you want to add them in as Switch friends? So it was actually super easy to keep people as friends who I had before, and also really easy to just kind of eliminate people. Like, no, I don't need to send them a request. I'm good. But... And anyway, we've gotten off topic here. I did play 1 round, and I was trying to play with a friend of mine who I brought over from the Wii U. He was playing... I can't even remember what mode it was. It was like some sort of like tournament mode or party mode where a bunch of people would play, and like you'd get into a match which was 1 versus 1 versus 1. It was 3 people all playing in 1.
Oh, God.
And then it would just all, it would like shuffle you all around again. And it would have been cool if I could have just like...
If you were good at the game.
If I was good, it would have been great. If I could like just tap him and say, hey, let's just do a 1v1 real quick. But as far as I know, there's not a way you can do that. I can't like direct message him and say, hey, let's switch over to this mode. Maybe there will
maybe
be
Maybe in the
point.
Paid.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe in the paid.
I'll have to like send him a smartphone, like a smartphone app, which would be no better than a text message.
Oh, God.
So, anyway, I mean, I did jump into that match. It was a 1v1v1, and I was the second place. I was first place loser. So, I mean, after playing one round, I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm not good at these games. I'm not having fun. I'm throwing off the curve here because all these people like trying to be good at the game. I'm just dicking around. Like, so I'm just going to go back to playing. I'll just go back to my corner and play the arcade mode. But, I'm liking this game because, like, each of the different fighters has their different ways that you want to approach them. Oh, and I do want to mention one more. Like, that guy Helix, who seems really useless. The best way to... Because he throws out these shields, so it's really easy just to, like, sidestep around and then grab. Like, he was a super easy one just to attack with grabs. That seemed to be the
maybe
way to
go.
Maybe
you need to play as him and see if there's a
figure him out. I do want to play through every character. I would like to beat the Grand Prix mode with every character on level 3. These are not high aspirations, but I mean, if level 2 is the best I can do.
What's the highest level?
7. 7 is the highest. I might turn it on to level 7 one time just to see the ass whooping I get. But it's going to be bad. It's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be like playing Ryan in Street Fighter 2. It is not going to go well. So, and anything else about ARMS that you want to throw out there before we move on?
If anybody knows how to use the freaking dragon arm.
Oh, yeah.
You let me know.
Shoot us an email.
Yes, because what the hell is the point of that thing?
The.nintendshow@gmail.com. Tell us how to use the dragon arm that Min Min and others use.
Yes, because that's what the hell.
It seemed like...
What the hell?
It leaves you so exposed if you miss.
It goes out there, it hangs out, you miss with the beam, and then you're just like,
We never did figure out her like little kick deflect, though. She can do a little kick in the air that deflects.
I haven't figured that out either, no.
So, you know, there's some cool that you can do. But anyway, let's move over to... I got a couple more games that I want to get through. I downloaded Mighty Gunvolt Burst, which is a game from Inti Creates. And, well, I've talked about Mighty No. 9. You remember that game, yes?
Unfortunately. I can't burn that out of my memory.
Well, we've all been there. Then there is another game that Inti Creates does, Azure Striker Gunvolt, which I've also talked about in the past, both games. This is not the first time they've done a mashup of those two properties. They also did a game just called Mighty Gunvolt, which was a little 8-bit downloadable game. For the 3DS, it was like 3 levels. It was pretty short. This is like a full-on, like, 8-bit Mega Man-style game with both characters. And it plays exactly like a Mega Man game where you have a boss select and your 8 robot masters that you play through. And then, like, your ending, like, Wily stages at the end, complete with, like, boss rush mode where you have to play through, like, all 8 robot masters again in order. Before you move on to the final boss, the biggest departure or the biggest innovation from a Mega Man game that this thing does is that you have a highly customizable cache of weapons. So every stage, there are little collectibles, as in a Mega Man game. You know, Mega Man games, you can collect like little heart pieces or sub tanks or pieces of your armor. That sort of thing. When you're collecting things in Mighty Gunvolt Burst, it's doing things like giving your weapons different attributes or increasing your basically your cache of customizable parts. I'm struggling to figure out how to explain it. Let me see if I can come up with an analogy as a starting point. Okay, Resident Evil 4.
Oh God!
Something that is not like Mega Man.
Oh God!
Something that is not like Mega Man.
We're going an interesting route already.
So you remember Resident Evil 4? You have your attaché cases.
Yes.
And each one you get increases the capacity that you can carry. You can carry more weapons. You can carry more ammo. So on and so forth. Every level
attaché.
Yeah. every level that you play will have pickups that you can grab that will increase your capacity for customizing these guns and your Mega Man type guns in the game. So you might pick up parts that will increase your firepower, or that will increase the bullet size of your weapon, or that will change the trajectory that your weapon travels. You can go from like going a straight shot, you can like have a wavy shot, you can have homing shots. You will also find things that will give you a double jump or a jump dash. You have all sorts of different techniques that you can mess around with, but they all cost something. And you have a limit to what you can, what all you can attach to yourself. But then you can increase that limit by finding these pickups throughout the game. So by the end of the game, if you're finding a lot of them, you can have tons of different upgrades on yourself to give yourself this really powerful character. Hmm. Now, it, like in a Mega Man game, every boss has a weakness. When you beat the boss and you beat that level, you have the option to take the element of his gun that will be some other boss's weakness, or you can increase your capacity for customizing.
Oh, okay, so you get a choice with that.
You get a choice, but you can always replay the level and just take the other one.
Oh, what the fuck? Okay.
So, I mean, I know what you mean. It would be nice if they just gave you both, but the levels, like, take 4 or 5 minutes. So it's never that big a deal just to play a level, grab the one, play through it again, grab the other.
It's not even that. Like, I think it would be better like if it just gave you
one or the other,
and that was it.
God, that would be...
That creates more strategy, a little bit more depth to the game there. Like, you really have to figure out your strategy and how you want to go about the next scene. But like, I can up this, but this boss... Maybe this boss I can fight regularly, or I don't need his weakness.
I mean, you do have the option to impose that upon yourself if you want.
You could.
But so every boss, like a Mega Man boss, has a distinct pattern that they follow. They have like 3 or 4 different attacks that they do. Everything is dodgeable, but it does take some measure of skill to beat these bosses without using their weaknesses. The two characters, Beck, who is from Mighty No. 9, and Gunvolt, who is from Azure Striker Gunvolt, do play differently.
Who's the third character?
The third character, I don't think is released yet. I think they might be doing
DLC.
I think they might be doing DLC. Okay. Let me see the picture you're looking at. Yeah, I think that's a DLC. Oh no, wait, that's from the first Mighty Gunvolt. That's from the gosh, I think she's from Gun Gal, but that's from the 3DS version. And she might end up in the Switch version. This game is also coming to the 3DS in a little bit, but. Where was I? So, you got Beck. He's from Mighty No. 9. They have different skills that you can pick from. So, Beck has his dash. He can jump in the air and do a dash forward like in Mega Man X. Whereas Gunvolt has a double jump. And you can also, like, you can give him up to a quadruple jump. So, he jumps and he can jump 3 more times in the air. Yeah, it makes him highly mobile. It's super useful. But, of course, that does take a significant portion of your total allotment of customizable economy, cash. I don't know what the correct word to use here. So,
now, do you think the fact that is associated with Mighty No. 9 hurts its credits, or maybe it helps Mighty No. 9's credit? Or
I think, sadly, I think Mighty No. 9 is a much more recognizable property, or a game that is.
Yeah, but at this point, is it a pleasantly recognized game?
No, certainly not. But like Azure Striker Gunvolt, both those games are much better games than Mighty No. 9, but I don't think they even came near to selling the amount of copies that Mighty No. 9 did. And part of that is because
it's like unknown. Like, I've never heard of it before all this.
And you know, it's a downloadable game on 3DS. And there's a lot of cool stuff downloadable on 3DS, but it's a very, not very small, but it is definitely like a niche part of indie gaming. Like, I don't think it's on Steam, these Azure Striker games. I mean, they might be, but you know, everything is buried on Steam. There's so much on there. But, I mean, I think that it does lend it some sort of visibility. I think that... some people are referring to this game as Mighty Gunvolt the Apology, because Mighty No. 9 was such a bad game. And again, we've said over and over again on this show, Mighty No. 9 was developed in part by Indie Creates. It was not their fault. Like, that game was a train wreck for other reasons. And I like, the Indie Creates has such a great track record of, especially like these 2D Mega Man style action games, that it's hard to believe that the missteps of Mighty No. 9 had anything to do with them. Because, you know, you're talking about like the two Azure Striker Gunvolt games. You're talking about Mighty Gunvolt, Mighty Gunvolt Burst, Shantae, Half Genie Hero. They are involved with the development of that, I believe. Or maybe Pirate's Curse, one or the other, or maybe even both. So, like, they've made really solid 2D side-scrolling action games. But anyway, I don't know if I want to spend too much more time on that. I mean, the game is really fun. I played through as both characters. I think it took about 4.5 hours.
That's not that bad.
Yeah, I was being pretty thorough, too, like playing every stage twice to get the upgrades that I wanted. There are other collectibles, like stickers. I did not feel compelled to go back and like collect stickers, because I've cured myself of that affliction.
I hate games that are like, here's all these collectibles you can get, but you get nothing for it. Like, if there's a real, like
you get all
reward for it.
You get all the stickers and you get the Super Magnum.
Yeah. Like, the biggest letdown, and this is because of this one game, is the reason why I will not do it again in any other game. This is the game that cleared that affliction for me. Jak and Dexter.
Mm.
Love Jak and Dexter. And the big thing was to collect all the, what are they, the sphere things? I forget what they were called.
You're asking the wrong guy. But go on.
You never played Jak and Dexter?
No.
You would love Jak and Dexter.
I mean, I played
that
a little bit.
Such a good game.
I played a little bit of Jak 2. It was your copy of it.
Oh my god.
That I ended up with for some reason.
Jak
and
Dexter
started,
you would prefer over it.
It started with like this part, like you're in a dune buggy and you're racing around. I was
yeah,
like,
that
I
got weird.
I don't care about this. That got like weird. I wanted to play a platformer.
Jak and Dexter is different though. That is a game that you would really like, because they really changed it when they went to Jak 2.
Mm.
And then Jak 3 was kind of an expansion on 2. Jak 3 was still really good, but Jak and Dexter was kind of like a Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, you're losing me.
Kind of thing. Don't worry, you'll like
it. Better or worse than iNinja?
Different.
Okay.
But still,
that's fair.
Still good. But there's these little, every little area you go to, you need to collect a certain amount of these things in order to like power something, in order to progress. And, you know, there was, like, it kept track of them, so you knew exactly how many were in the area. So I was
that's nice.
Let's go and collect all the things. Let's do all these by, you know, doing the quest or whatever. And then they kind of, I forget how, it was a long time since I played it, but I think they hinted to something you would get. Like, there was a door, and you needed, like, all 100 of them to open it. And then when I finally did all that, you saw this quick little cinematic, and they walked up to the door, and the door was opening, and it's a bright light, and that was it. Like, they didn't even, like...
Oh, there's, like, no payoff?
It was bullshit.
It was just a tease.
Yeah, it was nothing.
Hmm, interesting.
Absolutely nothing. Like, all right. It's a waste of my life.
Oh, weird. God. But anyway, Mighty Gunvolt Burst, like, this game is $10. Like, this game is a steal for how good of, like, a little Mega Man game that is. And it is, like, it's exactly a Mega Man game. Like, this is the game that Capcom should have been making for the past decade that they haven't. But anyway.
Should never have killed off Mega Man.
Yeah, it's true. It's very sad. So, one more game that I want to talk about before we move over to games coming out next month is Ever Oasis. This game is out on the 3DS.
No.
There is also a demo available if you're not sure about this game yet. This game is really good. Like, I'm really digging this game. And let me start by saying, like, it's developed by Grezzo. They developed the Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask remakes.
Good stuff.
And a lot of the combat feels very similar. It's got the same, like, L targeting. You target onto your enemy and then you attack them. You have a strong attack and a weak attack and a special for your little main character to do. It's like this gust of wind that can stun them or lower their defense. And you set out on these little adventures. You have your central town, and from there, well, it's not really central. It's your one town at the one point of the map, and then you spread out through the rest of the map. And there are a bunch of like little caves and Zelda-style dungeons that you enter. Now, I'm about 8 hours in, none of the dungeons are super complicated. One of the things about the dungeons is that I've only fought one boss in the dungeons, but a lot of them require re-entering them if you want to find everything. Like I've entered dungeons where I don't yet have the skill to access the whole thing. So there might be treasure chests or exits to different parts of the map that I haven't been to yet within these dungeons. Because a lot of these dungeons are also tunnels that will lead you to other parts of the map that you can't otherwise access. Like some of these dungeons are one room. You go in there and there's treasure you can find and then you leave. So a lot of this game is also just based on exploration. Just like looking around, see what you can find.
Still not your map.
Yeah.
Yep, that right there.
And the point of doing like going into all these dungeons and finding all this stuff is then you can bring it back to your town. And the idea there is that you want to use these resources to build up your town. Now, you don't have to do like any sort of crafting or anything like that, but the more stuff you have, the better stocked you can keep your shops. As people come to your town, there's like a little mini quest. And it hasn't been too complicated so far. So like someone will come into your town and they're either like a person that has a potential to move in or like a little pigeon penguin dude that's just there to shop. Like they don't even have dialogue. They don't matter.
There's a penguin in the desert.
Yeah. It's a pigeon penguin.
Pigeon something. Penguin in the desert.
Yeah. Roll with it. Don't worry about it.
Just, okay.
Don't, just Japan. Just don't worry about it.
So, I love that excuse. Because Japan.
So these people will enter your town, and they have like a little quest associated with them. Like, hey, I just want this item. Or I dropped an item back in that dungeon. And then if you go and find that item, you bring it back to them. Or if you already have it and you give it to them, they're like, hey, I'm going to move in here. And then people who move in have the potential to become shop owners. And if you build their shop for them, then you use the other like little loot items that you have found throughout the world to keep their shops stocked. And the little pigeon penguin dudes will come through the town, go into the shops and spend the money. And then you collect all that money and you get to keep it all. The shop owners get nothing. And you use that to build more shops or to build like decorations, like little statues for your town, which isn't really a big mechanic throughout the game. It's not really that big a deal.
Everything in this game looks freaky as hell.
Oh yeah,
there's little friends and everything. They're all just monsters.
Yeah, they got like little like reptile creatures and little owl dudes.
One dude's got one eye.
Oh yeah, like the like golem looking things.
Yeah.
I got one of him. He lives in my town now. But like, and like
it's everything, in my town now.
And everything builds really intuitively. The first time I played through this game, I turned it on the night that it arrived from Amazon, and I was playing for a little while. And I think
I hit that plugin.
Yeah, I finally got to. You should buy everything at Amazon. I finally got to what I thought was a logical stopping point, and then I looked up at the clock, and it had been 3 hours. So this game really intuitively leads you into the next thing and builds up so well. So people will move into your town, you'll build them a shop. And then like once they've moved in, then a lot of times they'll be like, hey, I heard about this other person who's over in this area. And then you can go find them and bring them back to your town and see if you can get them to move in. Sometimes you like they'll want something you don't have. They'll stick around for a little while as a visitor, then they'll leave. But then they will eventually come back. Maybe you'll have what they want for that time. There's like this one lizard lady who wanted like a balloon and a scarf. And I only had a balloon shop.
Okay.
Yeah. And you make balloons by using snake skin. So you have to go kill snakes, give it to the balloon shop, and make balloons that little pigeon penguins can buy.
Because Japan.
Yeah. So I didn't. I only had the balloon shop. So she was like, oh, well, okay. She stuck around for a little while. Then she left. And then I built a scarf shop and she came back. It's like, oh, I'm going to live here now.
Because you got balloons and scarves. Okay, so I'm
making the two things I need in life.
just setting up home. This is it.
So
my journey is over.
And as more people move into your oasis, you expand your oasis. You have more plots of land that you can develop, put shops onto. You also have this little farm that every day, like, there's a tree and fruit will grow on the tree, and you take that fruit, and that fruit can be used in one of your shops. Like, one of the first ones you get is a fruit stand. So you always have something. You always have a shop that will be stocked that way. And to restock your shops, initially, you have to, like, go into every single one of them and manually restock them. And it's the same thing with your farm. Initially, when you have your farm, you have to go and grab the fruit off the tree every day. And you have to plant new crops and water them every day. It only takes a day for them to grow. But once you get to a certain point in the game, you can then start to automize all this stuff. You can assign someone, you are my farmer now, tend my fields. And you can do the same thing with you go to this one person and you can talk to them and be like, oh, these are the shops that need to be restocked. Okay, restock them all. And then it's done, as long as you have the materials to do it. Now, you can go get the materials yourself, which you have to do in the beginning, but then you also get to a point where you can send out these raiding parties, essentially. So you can put together a group of three people living in your town and say, hey, you go to this area, and it will say, in this area, these are the types of items you can find. And you send them out, it takes them a day, they come back, and you get a bunch of loot from doing that.
There you go.
So it starts from having to multitask and run all of these things, and it becomes much more broad. It becomes, okay, now you can start delegating to other people. Now that you have more stuff to worry about, you can start telling all these other people, you worry about it, and you start being more of a macro manager, like the actual mayor of this oasis, rather than like the caretaker who's just doing everything. So it's really cool how the game built on itself. The dungeons, so far, I mentioned that they can sometimes be tunnels. The puzzle solving in them has been pretty light. Like, we're not even talking about, like inside Jabu Jabu level of intricacy. Probably not even, like, Dodongo Cave levels of intricacy. Each of your citizens will have a skill, and you bring them with you in your little raiding party to go to dungeons, and their skill might be useful, it might not. There's like a citizen who can like turn into a morph ball and roll through areas and then open the door from the other side so you can get in. Or there'll be a lizard lady with a spear and she can reach switches that are higher up that will open a door for you. Or there'll be a citizen who can go inside a flower and like a Deku leaf.
Oh, just shoot up and...
and paraglide over things and get you, like, treasure chests. The thing is, you can only bring two party members with you. So if you're in a dungeon and you realize, I don't have the right people with me, a lot of times they'll have, like, a warp point that you can activate so you can quickly go back to town and get someone. That's not always the case. And if you want to be thorough, like I do, and you want to get all those treasure chests, sometimes it does take a couple trips back and forth.
That sounds wonderful.
The upside is that you're always collecting materials, so you're always keeping your shops fully stocked. And there are reasons that you would want to keep that grind going. Like the place that I stopped was that I got to this new area, and there were a bunch of like those one-eyed golem people that you were talking about. And they're like, hey, we want to come to your town. You should throw us a festival. So I got back to town and they're like, okay, well, if you want to throw a festival, we have to do this. You have to get all these stamps from these shops that you've been restocking. And you have to get like three little fairies swimming around in the fountain in the front of your town. And you have to have a population of such and such. And because I had been already like grinding away at those things just on the natural process of the game of trying to be thorough and exploring these caverns, I was already pretty much there. Like, it took me... And this could have brought the game to a dead stop, where I was like, okay, well, now I need to restock the shops, and I gotta wait for another day, then I gotta restock again and wait for another day, because you had to, like, restock the shops X number of times before they'd, like, give you their stamp, like, yes, we are ready for the festival. But because I'd already been doing that, it didn't take more than like 10 minutes to be like, okay, ready for the festival. Let's go. Get them all here. We're and the festival was cool because it got me like 2 million water droplets, which is the currency of the game.
Is so, water?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is this, Water World?
It's the opposite of Water World. It's a desert. And Water World, well, I mean, yeah. Like, I guess, like, yeah. You know what?
In the opposite Water World, but with the same currency?
The thing about Water World as a film is that in a lot of ways, it is a desert because you have all that water, but none of it is potable water. Like, it's all salt water.
Hey, he's drinking his own piss.
So, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, in a way, I mean, it was a desert. Like, there was nothing growing.
Man, that was deep, man.
Yeah.
It's, wow.
It's desolate.
That's philosophical right
indeed.
There.
Indeed. We got to do a dissection of the movie Waterworld.
Oh, what a gloriously terrible movie.
I know, right? God.
But yeah, Waterworld's one of those movies where it's really, really bad, but you still enjoy it.
It's highly rewatchable.
Yes.
Like,
it really is.
I'd rewatch Waterworld like once a year. Just because, yep. Like...
Then rain of
fire. It's such a small once a day. It's such a small intellectual investment to watch Waterworld. Anyway. But Ever Oasis, I am really digging how well everything builds on itself and into itself. You have all these systems that work really well together. It's not a difficult game. It's really light. It's really breezy. But I highly recommend it. This game is really fun. But let's take another quick break and then come back with games coming out in July. We actually got a few games to get through here. First
really?
Up, yeah, first up, I wanted to mention that Kirby Blowout is coming out on July 8th in North America. That release date just got announced today at time of recording here. But Nintendo does not have a description on their website, so we'll probably end up talking about that one. It's a downloadable 3DS game. It's an eShop game. I don't know if they have announced a price. It doesn't look like they've announced a price just yet. But I'm sure it won't be super expensive. It's, you know, it's a little Kirby game. It'll probably be fun and distracting enough. But let's start the festivities here. Oh, we'll just start with the main event. We're going to start with Splatoon 2. This one is coming out on July 21st.
I've only played maybe 10 minutes of Splatoon, but, you know.
All right, here we go. Here's
I'm reading stuff.
Nintendo's description. This is the best part of the show.
Oh, my God. This is what you guys have been waiting for.
Oh, yeah.
The Squid Kids, called Inklings, are back to splat more ink and claim more turf in this colorful and chaotic 4-on-4 action shooter.
Hmm.
Yeah. For the first time, take turf war battles on the go with the Nintendo Switch system and use any of the console's portable playstyles for intense local multiplayer action. Even team up for new 4-player co-op fun in Salmon Run. I get it, because they're squids and...
Everything's a sea creature.
Salmon. Salmon.
I heard you the way you said it the first time.
What?
I heard the way you said it the first time.
Is that right?
Salmon?
Salmon?
I don't care. I'm making something out of nothing here. Let's just move on.
It's nuclear, dummy. The S is silent. 2 years have passed since the original Splatoon game was released, and 2 years have also passed in... Inkopolis.
Whoa!
What?
Real-time passage.
Holy shit. So expect a fresh way of fashion, not to mention new weapons and gear. Dual-wield the new splat dualies, or stick to mainstays like chargers and rollers,
which have been remixed with new strategic possibilities. As always, Turf War is the favorite sport among Inklings, but they also dig ranked battles. Taking down Octarians in a robust single-player campaign, and battle enemy Salmonoids in one dangerous part-time job. No matter which way you play, splat at home or on the go, with a Nintendo... That sounds dirty. Staying fresh never felt so... That sounds dirty. getting all kinky up in here. This is supposed to be a kid's game. Bullet points.
Bullet points! Oh, that's so exciting.
Turf War. Team up in fierce 4-on-4 multiplayer battles to see which team can cover the most turf with ink. Salmon Run. 2-4 players can team up for co-op and defeat waves of enemy salmonids.
That's like, oh god, what do they call
that? I didn't think those were salmon.
They look like just little fish heads. Like, it's weird that they're, like, specifically salmon. But yeah, they're like, when they come up on the land in reverse scuba suits.
I wonder how accurate they are to actual salmon.
I wonder how, well, salmon don't wear robot suits. There's that.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure. I'm like 80% sure. We need a marine biologist to tell it like it is.
All right. If there's a marine biologist listening, says an email.
The.nintendo@gmail.com.
About the difference between the salmonids and salmon.
And tell us if octopus can really change into children, because that would be horrifying.
New weapons! Dual wield the new splat dualies and avoid getting splatted with the new dodge roll move. Now there's a dodge.
Mainstays, that last one is super exciting. Okay, go on, keep going.
There's actually a dodge?
No. I'll let you know when you get to it.
Okay. Mainstays like the Splat Roller and Splat Charger have been remixed to include new gameplay mechanics, and all special weapons are brand new. Local and online multiplayer. In a first for the series, compete in local multiplayer Turf War battles. Whether in TV mode or on the go in handheld or tabletop modes, online battles also make a return. New ways to play. Play with the Joy-Con controllers on the Nintendo Switch Pro or the Nintendo Switch Pro controller, sold separately, both of which support motion controls for better aiming. I hate the motion controls for aiming. Ugh.
Some people like them. I mean, you don't have to use them. It's an option. At least they give you the option, though. You know, at least they can say you can turn them off.
Yeah. Like, all right, you suck. Here, play like all the other noobs.
Here's your training wheels.
Play with all the other fakers. Fresh updates, similar to the Splatoon game for the Wii U. Console updates will roll out post-launch, adding new content and in-game events. Smart device support. An upcoming smart device application of the Nintendo Switch system will allow players to set play appointments with friends and teammates, as well as voice chat with friends during play sessions. AKA, call them.
Yeah, I mean... It's
called three-way calling. It's been around for a very long time, Nintendo.
This is getting back to their online stuff. There's got to be something real special about the way this Nintendo one works if they're going to like convince people to stop using Skype. Because that's what people typically do when it comes to Nintendo online games. Like, all right, we'll get the Skype call set up.
Land play.
I mean, maybe this is the most exciting one, but maybe that's why they decided to go with an app, was because they realized that people were just using Skype as their voice chat. And like, hey, we could do that too. We could make a Skype.
We can make Skype.
Or maybe they didn't know Skype existed, which is also equally possible. I'm telling you, they don't see the outside world.
How do they communicate, you know, to like the Japanese chapter?
And letters. They write letters.
By pigeon or something?
Yeah. Carrier pigeon. Clearly. Yeah. But land play! Has anyone heard this term since 2005? I mean, I'm sure it's still a thing. And, like, it's probably a cool way to, like, set up these big multiplayer local matches. But, my God, LAN play! Do they have Double Dash? Mario Kart Double Dash? Get a LAN match set up?
Up to 10 dock systems, 8 players, and 2 spectators.
No! You couldn't hook up your Switch LAN to watch, to spectate the game being played locally. My God.
Well, it's probably something like you can switch around and view different people.
No, no, no. This is, well, yeah, maybe. But no, this is exactly what this is. Like, they were developing the game, and they were like, and like, someone who was developing, like, the LAN capabilities of the hardware, and who was developing the game never talked to each other until, like, the guy doing the hardware burst in the room, like, I can get 10 people playing at once LAN. And the people developing the game was like, this is an 8-player game. And he's like, shit. Well, the other two can watch.
Can connect via wired LAN. Additional accessories required. Sold separately. This feature allows players to create local private battle tournaments without the need for an internet connection. Local wireless play is perfect for your regular gaming get-togethers, but LAN play is where it's at when you want to organize a serious tournament.
So, I wonder... I gotta do some research. I don't know. I haven't seen any announcement of, like, a Switch LAN adapter. They can't be using the Wii one. Like, that can't. That, no.
That'd be so good. Oh, my that'd God. Be so good.
What you have to do is you have to hook it up to the GameCube modem, and then...
Oh, that'd be so good.
No. No, there's gotta be something dedicated for Switch here. They're not gonna ask people to buy a Wii
LAN adapter. Let's do it.
That would be insane.
Come on, let's go.
You all have to be standing on your balance boards, and then...
Customize. Change your Inkling style with different weapons, headgear, clothes, and shoes. Gear isn't just aesthetic, it offers different boosts in battles. Amiibo!
Amiibo!
Compatible with all Splatoon series Amiibo features. By tapping these Amiibos, the figure's character will appear in the game and befriend players. Befriend an Amiibo player character, and they will remember favorite weapons, gear outfits, and option settings.
That sounds perfectly dull.
Yeah, okay.
So, I'm excited for this game. I'm most excited about the single player, which they showed a trailer a while back for the single player stuff. It looks really cool. And I'm actually pretty excited for that salmon run. Like the... God, what do you... What is that? Horde mode? Is that what they call that in other games?
Yeah, horde mode. Call of Duty did zombie mode.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm excited that they're doing, like, a online co-op thing. Because, I mean, I liked the online stuff in Splatoon just fine. And I've probably talked about this many times before. I stopped playing online Splatoon because I was totally outmatched.
Yeah, that's like, the thing with online playing. Unless it's a game that you're going to sit there and focus on and be like, I'm going to get good at this game. Eventually, you're just going to come across all the time. Just people just stomping your face.
Like another game came out. I stopped playing Splatoon for like 3 weeks because the other game was out. I was playing that. I went back to Splatoon. And, like, no, I just kept on getting crushed over and over again. Like,
it just gets ridiculous, unless it's a regular game that you play.
Yeah, and it just became really intimidating to jump back in. Whereas, you know, if I jump into an online game and I'm the worst player on a competitive team, like, sorry, guys, I'm dragging you all down. Like, I feel bad, but if I jump into an online game and I'm the worst player on a cooperative team... And we're just playing as bots. I don't feel bad about that at all.
I mean, it's got to be games... The games that I would do better with it are games with a rank system.
Mm.
But then some people don't even like playing ranked. It's very odd how it breaks it down. Because you can... I'll say this for like League of Legends and Overwatch or anything. They have the regular free play where you're still playing with people and doing your regular games and stuff. But win or lose, who cares? And then you have the rank system where people... are more focused, they actually do tactics, they try to play the game to the most optimal part. But if you fuck up, they're going to be like, you noob, I hate you, go die in a fire, I banged your mom last night. Just absolute
and nonsense. You're like, that's gross, my mom is dead.
At least, I mean, if you're winning, everybody's hunky-dory. But the second you do something wrong or play, it gets the most toxic environment ever. But then you end up playing free play, and people are like, I'm going to do this, even though it doesn't make any freaking sense, and I'm going to lose horribly. But gosh dang it, I'm having fun watching you guys pull the hair out of your heads.
Well, you know, they did
it's,
have...
It's toxic.
Like hair matchmaking toxic. And ranked type things in Splatoon 1. But And, God, tons of different modes, too. Like, they had some really cool stuff in there. But, I mean, if it's a lot like how I feel about fighting games. If I'm just gonna play and lose, I mean, I'm not gonna want to keep playing.
No, you
know, what's the point? But let's move on. Let's move on to Fate Extella, which is coming out on the Switch on July 25th. This one is developed by Marvelous Incorporated and developed by Marvelous USA / XSEED in North America.
Oh, I'm reading it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's read.
I think there's even a few bullet points.
Let's go. Experience lightning-fast battle action across an epic story. In the digital realm of Seraph,
I can't see it. Yeah, I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
The Holy Grail War is over, but the land's new ruler faces challenges and threats from all sides. The servants now find themselves drawing up tense and unlikely alliances, preparing for a conflict that may tear Seraph apart or destroy it entirely.
Dun, dun, dun.
Key features.
Mm.
If the mouse wants to...
Use the arrows.
I do this every time.
Have you used a computer before?
What's a computer?
Right.
A variety of Fate universes collide! The famous Fate Extra series strikes a path to a new stage with Fate Extella, the Umbral Star. Not just Fate Extra servants, but characters from Fate Stay Night, Fate Apocrypha, Fate Grand Order, Fate Zero, and other Fate series will make appearances.
Does any of that sound familiar to you? God, is that all the same, like...
All of it sounds familiar to me.
That's all, like, within the same universe? They're just, like, different... I won't ask you to explain.
I don't really know, because I only really know the Fate Stay Nights and the Fate Zero, which is not mentioned here. No, it is. Fate Zero, Fate Stay Night, those are two animes. Fate Grand Order was a movie anime. I have not watched it because it looked really, really stupid. Fate Apocrypha, I think, is another one, but I don't know anything about that one.
So basically they're just...
But I don't know if they're saying this based on the anime or based on the games. I don't know. There's games versions of this.
Mm.
I only know them for the anime aspects.
Drawing from everything here, I suppose.
Possibly. I mean, that the chick that you see all over the place, like that chick right there.
Okay.
That's actually their rendition of King Arthur.
Oh, okay.
It's a chick. Which sure. is... I forget what her chick name is. It's not Arthur. King? It's like Arteria or something like
but
that.
But is she still king?
Yes.
Okay.
She is still a king.
She gets that patriarchal monarch.
She has Excalibur, and she fights for Bryn. You can enjoy the game in Japanese audio with English subtitles. Chinese, Korean, and Japanese text is also available. So, for you, you can just change it to whatever text you want. You're not going to read it anyways.
Right. What they're saying does not matter.
Yeah, who cares? What's the words? A brand new story from the series... Author Kinoko Nasu. Sure.
Definitely handled.
As the original creator of Fate Stay Night and the scenario writer of Fate Extra, Kinoko Nasu has created a completely new scenario for Fate Extella. The universe and characters of Fate will evolve. A large story told from different perspectives. I can't talk tonight.
Don't worry about it.
In Fate Exteria... In Fate Extella, the story will be told from the independent perspectives of three heroine servants. Various side stories are also included, creating a structure that will shed light on the main story. A new way to battle! As a unique action game in the Fate series, the player will be able to control a servant and perform various moves. On top of that, powerful form change ability has been added to transform your servant. Engage in intense battles on the ground or midair to annihilate the enemy forces. That's it.
Cool. Now, we just spent more time giving that game attention than any other podcast will.
Yep.
From now until the end of time. I mean, it's hard to be... Because it looks a lot like a Dynasty Warriors game.
Yeah, but it's sloppily done. But it looks like a lazy Dynasty Warriors.
I mean, I feel like that also describes some Dynasty Warrior games. But you have a game like Fire Emblem Warriors coming out that looks like has all this cool stuff is going on with it.
Play that.
Right. It's hard to get excited about
this unless you're a hardcore fan of the Fate series.
Hmm. Because a lot of the focus here that they're talking about is like on story. Like, yeah, look at all this cool stuff that's going on with this character or that character. They're talking about all these different series. I wasn't paying much attention. But, anyway, let's move over to Hey Pikmin, which is coming to the 3DS on July 28th. Yeah, this one, of course, developed by Nintendo, published by Nintendo. Actually, Nintendo doesn't have the developer list. I think this one is Arzest, who also did Yoshi's New Island, which is a game that I liked, on 3DS. But take it away, Wes.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Pikmin.
It's the dude with the fishbowl head.
Yeah, Olimar. Main character again.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Brought him back. Captain Olimar has crashed on an unknown planet inhabited by Pikmin.
Again.
At what point do they revoke his pilot license?
Who are you going to put in charge? Louie? No.
It's got to be, like, other people. I'm sure there's not, like, five people and, like, only Olimar can do it. Like,
eventually they're going to make a Pikmin game where they intended to go to that planet. Actually, that might be Pikmin 2.
I mean, but at what point do they go, all right, listen, Olimar, we've invested millions of dollars in your spacecraft.
Yeah.
Quit wrecking them.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I mean, we're not made of money here. I mean, it doesn't grow on trees. It's made out of trees.
Maybe
he goes for air.
Maybe he's not even, like, supposed to be the captain. Because,
like, he murdered the captain. Maybe this is a whole, like,
I wasn't, like, thinking that.
No, we're going extreme on this.
But here's what I'm saying. In Pikmin 1, he crashes his ship and then has to rebuild his rocket ship. So he's a brilliant mechanic. Maybe he's not supposed to be an astronaut or a ship's captain. Maybe, like, he was just really good at building rockets. And they're like, yeah, you're going to go to space. And he's like, I don't know how to fly it. I just know how to build it. Like, maybe that's his excuse.
Somebody needs to go out there and make a story.
I'm sure you like an actual fan fiction.
Let's make it, like, some kind of fan fiction. Olimar wasn't the captain. He's not the pilot. He was the ship's engineer.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, let's make aliens. They came in. Somebody brought an egg on the ship.
Oh, yeah, Xenomorph.
And horrible things ensued.
Yeah, yeah.
And he crashed on the planet, luckily after killing the last one. So, you know, he survived. But now he has to find his way back into space, where he takes the Pikmin with him.
Yeah.
And fights off the aliens once again with these little Pikmins.
Because this would be the fourth Pikmin game he's appeared in. And the third time he's crashed his ship.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty incompetent. Is it the same ship he's crashed?
I'm pretty sure it's the Dolphin.
Like, he's trying to get back, but he just can't do it.
No, I think they're separate trips.
Oh.
Because in the first one, he puts his ship back together and goes home, and then they send him back out again. But this time, he intentionally goes to the A planet. I'm not sure if it's the same one, but to gather resources to bring back. So he is there intentionally. It's not like he crashed and was like, oh shit, I gotta put my ship back together. No, he does land the ship that time. He manages to do it.
At what point as an individual even do you go, all right, you walk up, Olimar, we got a job for you. And Olimar goes, you know what, I'm gonna pass. I keep getting crashed on this planet. I don't know when I'm gonna see daylight and see this my home again.
The air is toxic.
I mean, it was 3 years before I saw another woman. You don't know what that does to a man. You just don't. Just don't. I just can't do it. I mean, what kind of psychological
is
this? What kind of strain does it put on this man? He can't do this.
I'm telling you, Pikmin is a dark game. This is very mature.
We're gonna make it darker.
All right, let's take it away. Here we go. Hey, Pikmin, 2D side scroller.
And his first 2D platformer will give you a new perspective on his adorably fierce partners. Oh, it's a 2D.
Yeah.
Touch the screen to throw Pikmin into action. Swim with blue Pikmin, fly with winged Pikmin, and more to survive hostile wildlife, solve ecological puzzles, and escape. Help Captain Olimar explore and escape the new world by guiding him and his Pikmin with the stylus. Olimar is a half-pint hero on a personal mission to save himself. How noble.
Yeah.
Get a new
not the Pikmin.
No, screw those
the Pikmin.
Those are slaves.
Gotta save myself.
I picked them out of the ground where they were nice and warm and lovely. Now they're my slave.
I mean, if there were monsters chasing you around, would you have any reservation about throwing your carrots at them? No,
oh, no. You just throw them at them. No, stay away. I mean, eat those things while I run the other way.
Right.
This guy's a monster. Get a new perspective on the powers and personalities of Pikmin. Tap the touch screen to choose Pikmin and toss them at objects or enemies.
And this to me is sounding a lot like Kirby Mass Attack, which
this
is a game.
This guy's a monster.
Kirby Mass Attack was a game that I really liked on the original DS.
That was the one where you broke up all the little ones, right?
Yeah. So again, and then you gather more together and you use the touch
screen.
Yeah,
that was a good one. I liked that one too. That was actually one of the only. No, that was the only Kirby game I bought.
Oh, yeah?
I've never bought another Kirby game.
Wait, do you still have it? Like, do you still
somewhere, I think.
Huh.
It's been a long time since I played it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I ever beat that one because this is this weird situation where you play through the game and then every level had like a rainbow medal that you could find or like get by getting the high score.
I didn't care.
You could only go to the last world if you had gotten all the rainbow medals. I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna run through everything again. And I just never got back to it. But I mean, that came out at a weird time because that was, the 3DS was already out. So I probably got sucked into another game.
Yeah, just I remember. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, Kirby Mass Attack was cool.
And then it had all those weird little side games that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
They got real funky.
Yeah. Yeah, I've talked about this one a million times, where like the shooter one, where you drive the Kirby's around.
That one could have been its standalone game. Mm-hmm. That was so good.
If Kirby Mass Attack came out on the 3DS, it would have been like a standalone eShop game that you could download, because they did that with like every other Kirby game that's come out on the 3DS, is they broke off like the mini games and sold them separately on the eShop.
Hmm.
It's pretty cool. But let's move over to Miitopia.
Oh yeah, this is gonna be dumb.
Yeah, it's a RPG from Nintendo for the 3DS.
It's an RPG emulator.
Yeah, it's a
simulator.
Sure.
Faker.
Coming out July 28th, 2017. This is also, I don't think we mentioned yet, this is also when the 2DS is coming out.
You want to play an RPG, but just can't seem to do it.
But this one's short. We got a short description here.
Oh yeah, this is a little paragraph. That's it.
No bullet points, sadly.
Your friends, your adventure, your rules. Since the dawn of ever, warriors have banded together to fight evil. Now me, characters based on your favorite people, must unite to do turn-based battles and save Miitopia. Cast them in roles across the kingdom. Manage friendships. And give them jobs with distinct stats, abilities, gear, and a custom look. Like this guy here that's a cat.
Yeah, because why wouldn't he be?
That guy looks super creepy in that cat outfit.
Well, because they actually have jobs. Like, there's a job system.
No, he looks like a pedophile.
Okay, well, maybe that's his job. He's the village molester.
I wore this cat outfit to lure children to me.
Oh my god, that's
look
like
how adorable
the most evil profession that you can be assigned.
Oh my god.
In the village, yes. You're the village supervillain. Your job is to...
On Tuesday, you have to wave your penis star. At strangers. Oh, that was a Family Guy reference. Then behold as awesomeness unfolds. God damn. Oh,
do you doubt them? Do you doubt them at all?
Guide your team of me characters on a quest to defeat the Dark Lord and restore the stolen faces of the citizens of Miitopia. As you watch with bated breath, me characters will mingle over food, camping, exercise, sleeping arrangements, and yes, combat.
Mm.
In these wild yet traditional RPG battles, your party's relationships affect the outcome. Enemies attack while you explore the world map, which is littered with hidden paths and treasures. Talk about a win-win. I don't know.
I think no. No, there's too many other games. I can't.
What's your time with this?
No, we'll see. I think to get...
I'll play Final Fantasy like an adult.
I think to get the best possible experience out of this game, you have to really like the zany interactions.
And
that,
get drunk.
Right, that too. But you know, like there are people who really liked Tamagotchi Life, which was like this game, just without the RPG battles. Because like Miis would interact with each other and have stupid conversations and do karaoke and like marry each other.
That got weird.
Yeah. But I don't know, like this sort of thing, like watching silly interactions just isn't enough for me. It's not what I want out of my RPG. So, you know.
You want something in depth. Like, if I play an RPG, like a Final Fantasy, I want something in depth. I want something that I can get nitpicky about every little thing.
Like Final Fantasy 12.
Build something together. Probably will get it. I probably will give it another shot.
Do you still have the PS2 version? Like, why are you spending...
My PS2 doesn't work.
What? Don't be absurd.
That thing died a long time ago. First of my consoles to actually die, which is unfortunate.
My Sega Genesis was the first thing.
And I want something with an in-depth story that I can really dive into with my RPGs.
Well, before you buy, when is the HD version? Miitopia. Clearly, neither of us are getting Miitopia.
No.
But when does the HD version of 12 come out?
I have no idea.
Well, before you spend $60 on it, let's try to run through it again on PS2.
Just you and me right here?
Yeah. We'll do it in one sitting.
We'll do the full Final Fantasy 12 in one sitting.
Yeah. And we'll see how far we get.
There.
And then you can decide if you want to drop $60 on it or not.
It probably wouldn't be when it was 60. Like, I just bought Final Fantasy 15 for 35.
Okay. That's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, it was. I walked in there in GameStop, and I walk up to the counter with a brand new one. The guy's like, "Do you want the used one? It's a little cheaper." I'm like, "All right, sure, whatever, pal." Because, you know, they keep even the... They only have the empty cartridges out on the floor.
Yeah.
And so he, like, goes back and grabs it, hands it to me. I'm like, cool, and I buy it, and I leave. And then I take a look at it before I get in my car and everything. The case is filthy, the disc is filthy, and all this stuff. I look at the receipt. It came to 32. The new one's 35. I go, fuck that. I turn right around. I'm like, yeah, give me the new one. Just, I will pay you the $3.
God, they didn't even, like, bother, like,
give me the new one.
Cleaning it when it got traded in? I thought they, like, had a whole process.
It was filthy. This is... No. People will spend the $3. Give me the new one.
People who hawk their shit on Amazon take better care than that. Jeez.
This is so bad.
That's disappointing.
Like, I'm gonna join you, John.
Yeah.
Buy all your things on Amazon.
Yeah, seriously. Because you can at least, like even if you're not getting directly from Amazon, even if you're getting from other vendors on there, they can at least, like, say, this has been cleaned and tested. It works.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't, you'd be like, hey, fuck you. Give me the money back and send you your shitty game here. But, yeah, that's aggravating. Like, I haven't set foot to GameStop in a long time, but...
I mean, I got a lot of points built up, which they took away from me.
I mean, they're okay.
And I had to send them an email and go, wait, I didn't agree to this, and they gave it back to me.
That sounds like much more hassle than it's worth.
Oh my god.
Anyway, does GameStop, like, they still have that power-up card, right?
Yep.
Do they give you, like, discounts on brand new games? Like, new releases?
Yeah, they get a little bit, but nothing huge. Like, a few bucks.
Like, there's, a lot of, like, Best Buy does that whole gamer club thing. And Amazon, like, Amazon Prime, you get 20% off of
new games. Like, I think you get the Game Informer subscription. You get that.
Right, sure, you get that right.
You get the discount on that. I think you get more points as well. I just have the regular free one.
Yeah.
Which every time I buy a game, they're like, hey, your membership expired. You want to renew it for 14? Like, no. No, I don't.
I renewed mine when my dad bought his PS4. They're like, hey, you know, you can renew yours and it actually, like, comes out to cheaper if you just buy this. I'm like, okay. So now I get their shitty Game Informer magazines, like, once every 2 months.
I still enjoy those magazines. Yeah. I like them. My brother had one and I stole it from him because he doesn't play games.
Well, the thing is that there's nothing in it for me. Like,
no, not for you, because you're exclusive.
It's mostly Nintendo player. I mean, it's not like they ignore Nintendo stuff completely. That's not fair. No,
they give it very little attention compared to everything else.
Right, they're selling PS4s and Xbox Ones, and that's their business. That's their game.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're gonna do, which is fine for me because I play that stuff.
Hmm. Yeah. You shouldn't though. You should.
I need a Switch, but I need a car first.
Hmm.
I need to buy my car
first. Anyway, we're way in the weeds here. This has been episode 80 of the Nintendo, and this is the end. Next up is the Pokemon show. I think we're going to take a different approach to this show, because I think it might be your turn to host.
Is it?
Who's That Pokemon? Yes. I think it might be. We're going to go back to Who's That Pokemon, and we'll probably spend most of our time talking about...
When I host, bad things happen.
I wouldn't worry about it. We're going to talk
usually
about...
Usually you end up getting mad at me.
I'm mad at you all the time anyway. We're going to talk about the Pokemon Go event and update, and that'll probably take a good amount of time. And
then there's another event?
Yeah, the Fire and Ice one. We haven't really talked about that one yet.
When's that one?
It's over.
Damn it.
And then there was they did the whole overhaul with gyms. Now they have Pokemon raids. And I'm sure Ryan will spend a whole lot of time talking about that because he's probably deep, deep into that. I haven't even tried it yet. But
Ryan's deep, deep into something that's not Busey?
He can multitask.
Multitask.
And then, yeah, then just keep the rotation going with the mini show and the Super Nintendo.
I think Ryan has a little game for us as well.
Yeah, on the mini show.
He wants us to play.
I have no idea what it even entails. He's just like, hey, I have a new game. And I'm like, cool, let's do it on the mini show.
See how that goes.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, until next time, everybody.
So long.